Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It is always a delight to see your friendly, smiling faces, and a warm welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. I have a few announcements. Now that it's September, things are getting back to quote-unquote normal. That means that some of our activities are resuming. This Wednesday at 8 a.m., the men's breakfast will be held, hosted by the UCC. At 1:30 p.m., the women's fellowship meeting at the UCC will involve a presentation by John Egan. And the women of this church and St. Luke's Episcopal and anyone else who would like to attend are welcome. That's 1:30 over and the Fellowship Hall of the UCC, and then at 5:30 p.m. is youth group here. Next Sunday at 2 p.m. is our church council meeting. There's one thing that I would like to start doing the first Sunday of the month, and that is to acknowledge all of the birthdays and all of the anniversaries so that we make sure that we acknowledge those people who are celebrating those milestones. In September, well, we happen to have a lot of them for September, including my own. I always considered myself a Christmas baby. You do the math. So what I'm going to do is ask those who have a birthday this month to stand. We have Paul Thompson, whose birthday is today. We have Buck Gilbert, Grant Dibble, Bill Payne, myself, and Wade Rinker. If you'll stand, if it's your birthday this month. First, we'll tell you happy birthday, and then we will also pray for you. So let us all pray. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on these your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace, and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And happy birthday. We also have a number of anniversaries. So we have Julia and Kevin Bettinger, Linda and Clarence Morgan, Leslie and Travis Pearson, and Jan and Wayne Nelson. You seem to be the only one. No, we have, yes. Well, so those of you who do have anniversaries this month, stand up and we will pray for you as well. So watch over and guide these couples, O Lord, as they celebrate another year together. Bless them as they continue to grow in love toward each other. Strengthen them when times are difficult. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Let their lives together reflect the love that you have for them and for all your beloved ones. In their hearts, may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy anniversary. Are there any other announcements? If not, let us join together in our confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you, and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Earth and All Stars. It is number 731. Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Good morning. God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord, your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, and I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give you, to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 1 responsibly. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their mind is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like a trap which they know the way.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
But the Lord knows the way.
The second reading is from the first chapter of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Omnibus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he has separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have anyone who wants to come forward for a children's sermon? If not, well, you are all, oh, good. I was going to say, if not, you're all my children, right? You're all children of God. So let's sit down for a little chat. Do you like to go hiking?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone hiking and you're going down a trail and then you have a choice between going to the right or going to the left? Is it easy for you to make that choice? Okay. What do you have to think? That's right. There could be almost anything one direction, maybe something better going the other way. Well, I have a favorite poem. I found out yesterday it was actually written as a joke. And I never knew that. I've always taken this poem seriously all my life. I probably encountered it when I was first maybe 13 or 14 years old. And I memorized it for a class in school. And I always took it seriously. But I found out yesterday that it was written as a joke, because the poet would go walking with a friend of his, and any time that they came down the path and they had to choose, his friend would just stand there for the longest time and say, "Well, if we go down that way, we might find a bird's nest, or we might find something else really interesting. If we go down that way, I'm not sure what we're going to find. Which way should I go? I'm not really sure." And then they go down one path that he said might have a bird's nest, and there was no bird's nest. And then he would say, "You know, maybe I should have taken the other path." And this poor poet one day decided, "You know, this guy has such difficulty making these decisions. Let me write this poem as a joke to just, you know, make fun of him for not being able to choose." I don't know if any of you know this poem. It's called "The Road Not Taken" by Robert Frost. And here's how it goes. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. So you can imagine that. It's probably autumn. So two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair,
and having perhaps a better claim because it was brassy and wanted wear. As for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, well, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And of course, we don't know what difference it has made. We don't know if this person writing this as a joke intended his friend to say, oh, yes, it didn't really make that much of a difference to go down one path or the other. But it does, doesn't it? Every little choice we make makes a difference. You know, I was thinking today when I was a child and we had to move from North Carolina to Utah, I really didn't want to go. And I think now how different my life could have been. I'm not sure that it would have been better, but it would have been different. And I look how a number of years ago I was coaxed, pretty much dragged, to a meeting that I didn't want to go to. It was called Toastmasters. They help you to develop communication and leadership skills. And I thought, I don't like to talk in front of people. Why in the world do I want to join this organization? And yet, had I not done so, I would never have met my husband. I would never be here right now. My whole life would have changed just from the decision of what club I was going to join. So even these little decisions that we make can make all the difference. What do you think? Yeah? Okay. And on our readings today, we heard about choices that need to be made. And so I'm going to talk more to the adults about that, too. All right, so let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you give us choices. You tell us that there is a good way that we need to follow. And help us, Lord, to make those good choices and to follow the way that leads to you. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining me.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what did you think of that gospel reading? Is that something that we should put on a sign outside of our door? Come here, those of you who hate your mothers and fathers, your brothers and your sisters and your children and your very life. Think we're going to have anyone coming through the door? No, this is one of those hard sayings of Jesus. What is he really talking about? You know, after all, we have a commandment that tells us to love our parents and honor them. What is he talking about here that we should hate them? What he's really talking about is if there is anything that stands in the way of following Jesus, we need to set it aside. Even those things that we love, even those people that we love. He tells us to give away all of our possessions. What he really means is if any of our possessions stand in our way, if our desire for the good things in life stand in our way, if those things possess us, we need to let go of them. That's not easy in this world when we have so many choices. We're told in our first reading that God gives us a choice. He says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. But how do we know which one is life? How do we know which one is death? It's difficult. And I was trying to find a way to make that a little bit clearer. And so I did what I often do as I'm trying to think my way through things. I took a nap. And as I awoke, it came to me. The illustration came to me. It seems clear. That old game show, Let's Make a Deal. Remember that? I know, I grew up on it. Where you had people in crazy costumes. Yeah. crazy costumes who come up, and they trade. You know, Monty Hall was there, and he would always choose people from the audience, and you'd have to do various things in order to win prizes. And at the end, you always had the choice of giving up what you already had to go for one of those doors. Well, think of this as God's let's make a deal. So God comes to you and says, I have here door number one and door number two. Well, where's door number three? Well, in this game, there is no door number three. Who do you think I am? Monty Hall? I'm God. The choice is door number one and door number two. But I advise you to choose door number two. Well, God, you're not going to send me astray, are you? All right, Lord, I'll take door number two. And God opens up door number one, and there is a fantastic vacation to the island paradise of your dreams on your own yacht. And you're going to have everything. And when you come home from that fabulous vacation, you're going to have a brand new house, fully furnished, and a new car, shiny red. You're going to have everything that will make your neighbors envious of you. Wow, Lord, that was door number one, and you're advising me to choose door number two? If door number one was that fantastic, what could be behind door number two? It must be unbelievable, out of this world. All right, Lord, door number two. And God opens door number two, and there you are expecting something beyond your wildest dream. And door number two, it opens, and there is a cross. And not some fancy gold or silver cross, but a wooden cross, roughly hewn, full of splinters. And not only that, but it has holes in it, nail holes. Hey, this is a used cross. God, what are you talking about? How can this be the choice you want me to make? When door number one looked so fabulous. And God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Door number two doesn't look anything like life. Door number two looks like death to me, God. And God says, I set before you life and death. And door number two gives you life. Door number one gives you death. But that makes no sense. Door number one looks like a fantastic life, full of everything that I could possibly desire. And God says, but you'll never be happy with door number one. Because once you have all of those things, you're just going to want more and more. And you'll never be satisfied. You'll always want more possessions. And you will start thinking that you deserve all of those things. And you're going to start praising yourself for all of those wonderful choices that you made that allowed you to have the life of door number one. And door number two, that cross. That's going to make you look not inward, but outward. It is going to make you rely upon me. It is going to make you see those other people out there who are also carrying crosses and how there are times when you need to put them down and rest a bit, and you have those people who are there to help you get through it. That we need those communities to help us to pick up and carry that cross and to support us when the cost seems too much and the burden seems too great. And it will allow you to see the need around you. It will allow you to focus outside yourself. For this indeed is the way of life. But door number one, just because it looks good doesn't make it good. It's like how we were talking during the children's chat. When you see the road and you have to stop and pause and figure out which direction you want to go, thinking, well, something good may be on this road and something better may be on that one. And how do I choose knowing I can't come back? God asks us to choose the path that leads to life, to choose the path that leads to God. And today, God is asking you that same thing. Door number one, door number two. The one that looks like life is not. The one that looks like death will lead you to eternal life. Which one do you choose? I choose to carry the cross. I hope you choose it with me. I hope that we choose to carry our crosses together and encourage and support each other when the times are difficult, knowing that indeed God has set before us life and death, and we have chosen life. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, which is, Will You Come and Follow Me? Number 798. Using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. We pray for the church around the world and for the mission of the gospel. Refresh the hearts of your people, deepen our understanding of every good thing we share, and strengthen our partnerships in the faith. God of grace, hear our prayer. For the well-being of the earth and all its creatures, for trees and forests, for all that will yield fruit this season, and for streams and other bodies of water. God of grace, hear our prayer. For the nations and those in authority, for the elected leaders of our towns, states, and country, and for international organizations. Grant wisdom to those who govern, and raise up citizens who make decisions in the best interest of their neighbors. God of grace, hear our prayer. For all in need, for those who suffer from disease, who struggle with homelessness or food insecurity, for those whose family life is difficult, for all those in this community who need your care, and for those listed on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. For this community of faith, for all our labors, begun, continued, and ended in you, that they glorify your holy name. Bless your people with the strength to live into their many vocations for the sake of the world. God of grace, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors, especially for Jenny Hancock, whose funeral was this last week, and whose flowers grace our altar today. Give us faith like them to love you with all their heart, and by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. God of grace, hear our prayer. Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you, for Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Thank you for sending your offering into the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory. We are an offering number 692.
Thank you.
thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join our unending hymn.
Thank you.
mission to the world, receive this blessing. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let's join together in our ascending song, Take My Life That I May Be, number 583.